chapter 5 with me this morning.
Did I turn that on, Bill? Yep, I do.
Romans chapter 5. Those who have had the mercy and the grace of God revealed to them, those who were blind to that very fact that God rules over everything, those who have had the mercy of God in giving us sight to the truths of His Word, seeing God revealed in the face of His darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what the Word of God says. It says all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him. If you see the Son, you see the Father. That was His words to His disciples. You have seen Me, you have seen the Father. Those of us who were blind, but now we walk in the light of Jesus Christ, we continually look to Scriptures, don't we? For solace and for peace. Our own sin will be before us until the Lord takes us out of this world. That's just the way it is. Many religions want to teach you that you'll be more righteous knowing who God is, that you'll act more righteous, that you'll become more as time goes by. That's not true at all. We will fight this body of death, this flesh that we walk in, until the day the Lord takes us out of it. That's all there is to it. That's His word. It's the battle that Paul declared when he said in scriptures that I do not the things that I wish to do, and he doesn't say it in those exact words, but I'm paraphrasing, and I don't do the things that I should do. Our sin is ever before our eyes. Our only peace is to see and to believe the wonderful promises that our dear Lord makes to His loved people. Are you with me in Romans chapter 5? Read verse 9. Much more than being now. Being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Being now justified by His blood. The title for this message this morning is Justified by His Blood. Now I want to bring out 2 points, and I won't be long. First, what is it meant by being justified? Being now justified. Why is being justified such a wonderful phrase to a sinner? Well, many make the claim of being a sinner, don't they? I know a lot of people who go to a church and they say, I was a sinner. I'm not a sinner anymore, but I was. I used to drink, smoke, cheat on my wife, cheat on my husband. I used to do this and do that, but I don't do that anymore. I chose. I made a decision to begin following the Lord Jesus. I did this, I did that. I got baptized. I worshiped on Saturday. I worship on Saturday now. I'm not a sinner like that, those that don't anymore. There are many who claim to be sinners, but only God can teach a person of what it is to be a sinner. To be born of the flesh. It takes God to teach a heart, a new heart that He has given to His people, the depth of that sin. You ever stop to think about the depth of your sin? How about this for just a moment? The depth of your sin cost the Son of God His life. The depth of our sin drove the One who has loved us from before the world was to become flesh and die for us. Sacrifice himself for our sins. Oh, I know I'm a sinner, but I'm not as bad as that sinner over there. A true child of God will say this, just like Paul said it. Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I don't care what anybody here has done. I don't care what any man who's ever walked this earth has done. I see my sin. And my sin is greater than anybody's. Because it's mine. And I know that because my sin is so deep, that the grace of my Lord in giving himself for me is greater than anything. Greater than anything that can be, anything that can come. Who can separate me from the love of God that is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Nothing. And that goes for each and every one of his people. Each and every one of you, if you belong to him, if he went to that cross and shed his blood for you, it's the same for you. Christ came to save sinners, but not everyone will be saved. So what does it mean to be a sinner? To be what I call a true sinner, or for lack of better words, a sinner who has had the truth revealed to him or her. One must know that it is not just what we do, it is what we are. One must be brought to understand that we came into this world dead in trespasses and sin, and that we sin because we are sinners. We're not sinners because we've done something. We do things because we're sinners. One must be brought to know this, that we can do nothing of our own to change our position before God. If there was something we could do, then there wouldn't be any need for a Savior, would there? If I could make a decision in my natural estate to follow Jesus, then I wouldn't really need Jesus, would I? Because that would be a righteous act. One must be brought to know that our just reward is God's justified wrath. To understand why being justified is so wonderful, let me read in your hearing the definition of justification from the Strong's Dictionary. In the Strong's Dictionary, we read this. It means to render, or that is, to show or regard as just, innocent, free. It's a forensic term that is the opposite of condemnation, to be condemned. Justified is the opposite of being condemned. One who is justified cannot be condemned. This is why Paul states over in Romans in chapter 8, verse 1, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The justice of he who is just has been met. His justice is satisfied." Now, isn't that good news to a sinner? I know I deserve. If you put me up before a judge, I'm guilty. But aren't we thankful that the judge is Jesus Christ himself, who says, "I have taken your guilt upon me." That's hard to deal with. That's hard to deal with when you walk in the flesh. How can he be guilty for something I just did? Because he knew I was going to do it. And the perfect blood of Jesus Christ was shed in my stead. He His justice was satisfied, and that's good news to a bankrupt sinner. As regards to our text, it is the judicial act of God by which he pardons all the sins of those who believe in his Son. And it's his account, and accepts that what his Son did. And he treats those who are justified as righteous in the eye of the law. In addition to the pardon of sin, justification declares this, that all the claims of the law are satisfied in respect. It is the act of a judge. The law is not relaxed, nor is it set aside, but it is declared to be fulfilled in the strictest sense. To be justified means that we have the law. Whoever looks at us now looks at us and says, there's nothing I can charge you with. You fulfilled the law. How can I fulfill the law? One who is nothing but sin, my Lord and Savior, my substitute. Our substitute fulfilled it. You see, if the Lord Jesus Christ had just come and gone to the cross and that was it, if he didn't fulfill the law for us, it wouldn't be justice. An unjust man would have been condemned. It's fulfilling the law to the strictest extent, and so the person justified is declared to be entitled to all the advantages and the rewards of arising from the perfect obedience of the law. Begin reading at verse 1 of Romans chapter 5 with me, if you would, please. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom? By Him, by the Lord Jesus. Also, we have access by faith in Him, into this grace wherein He stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus substituted himself in our place. He took our just reward, not just in paying our debt for sin, but he was our substitute in righteousness. He was our substitute in fulfilling the law. He completely justified each and every one of us for whom the Father hath given him by imputation. The children of God receive his imputation through faith, God's gift to the ones that he loves. That's what we read in Ephesians 8. Faith. You're saved by grace through faith. It is not of the works of man, lest man should boast. In Romans chapter 1, we read these words in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In Romans 3, verse 25 through 26, we read these words, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, that's a payment, a full payment, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Whosoever believeth in me shall have everlasting life, is what the Lord says. The point is this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and perish not, but have everlasting life. To be a depraved sinner, the words "being now justified" is beyond good news. They are precious words. They are words of grace. I know what I deserve. I deserve the wrath of God, but by His grace, His Son endured that wrath for me. Again, I see my sin ever before me, yet I also see the promises of God, and I believe. God has, by His mercy and grace, given me faith. He comes to us when we're dead in trespasses and sin, and He says, "Live." The whosoever that believeth on Him are the whosoever that God comes to and gives a new heart. A heart that says, "I believe this is true. I don't understand. I'm the worst anybody could be at understanding Scripture, of knowing Scripture. In my heart I am. In my eyes I think I am." I know people tell us that we're our own worst critics, right? I don't understand so much of all these words. But by His grace I believe it. And the more He teaches me to believe it, and that's what it is too. We have to be taught to believe it. We have to be taught of God to believe His word. That's what trials and tribulations in this world for us are. All this chaos that's going on in the world around us, the sicknesses that we all go through. The very fact that I laid there in that hospital, it was all for my good. It's all for our good to teach us to believe Him. Oh, how thankful that I am in believing my Lord. Read verse 1 back in our text, chapter 5 again. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I have peace, not in my flesh. We have no peace in this flesh that we have. Every time I get close to thinking I'm doing something right, the Lord lets me step in it. And I step in it deep. And I'm reminded of the weakness of this flesh. But I have peace with my Lord because He has fulfilled the righteousness for me. There's no righteousness in John. Do you see that in yourself? You see that in yourself, that there's no righteousness in you? That's because God has shown it to you. Our Lord shows us His righteousness. And it is in His righteousness that we stand on the promises of God that we shall have everlasting life. I have peace not in my flesh, but in my spirit, where my Lord dwells. I have peace not in what I have done, but what in my Christ has done. Look at verse 2. "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God." Our hope is in Christ Jesus the Lord. We glory in Him and Him alone. Look over at verse chapter 4. Look over at chapter 4, just a page over to the left there. Look at verses 19 through 22. "And being not weak in faith," we're talking about Abraham, "he considered not his own body," as you recall the story of Abraham, that he was almost 100 years old when the Lord gave him his son that he was promised. He considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah was much older than the women of that day when they were having babies. How's that old lady going to have a baby? That would kill her. Being not weak in the faith, as it said, he staggered, verse 20, not at the promise of God through unbelief. You tell me that's not God-given faith. Can you imagine that yourself? Can you imagine what Abraham thought at first when the Lord told him to go up into the mountain to sacrifice his son? I can tell you what he thought. He thought this: the Lord promised me that his seed would come from that boy. I may kill him, but God's going to raise him up from the dead. That's God-given faith. Only God could give any human being that kind of faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded, as it says in verse 20, 21, that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And then in verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Righteousness was imputed to Abraham because he believed. And the fact that he believed is the very reason that you and I believe, and that is because God has given us the gift to believe. You see how God gets all the glory for everything? From beginning to end? True children of God, we don't take God's glory. We give it to Him in everything. I didn't make a decision for Jesus. He made a decision for me before the world was. Great is the grace of God for that. You didn't make a decision for Jesus because Christ made a decision for you before the world was. Great is the grace of God for that. Now look over at verses 8 and 9 of chapter 5 again. But God. Aren't you thankful that there's but gods in His Word? But God. John wants to do it this way, but God. But God. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then. You know, we come to this table. I brought this out in one of our short messages. We come to the table of remembrance, and it's not just to remember what God has done, but it is to remember where He is now. It's not just that our Lord gave His life, gave His flesh, gave His blood for you and I, but that He arose again. You know what that means. Have you ever stopped to think about what that means, that the Lord Jesus arose again? It means that God Almighty, God the Father, accepted the sacrifice. It was accepted. It was good enough. It justified His people. It's just as if we had never sinned. He remembers them no more. When the Lord God Almighty looks down upon you and I, He sees the blood of His Son and the righteousness of His Son in us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were one, if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. By his blood. Our Lord's word tells us that the wages of sin is death. It also tells us that there is no remission of sin without blood. For God so loved the world, those in the world that were given to him by the Father, the whosoever, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. The very blood of God himself was shed at Calvary. God became a man so that he could establish a perfect righteousness for his people. He is the just and the justifier. Turn back to chapter 3 for just a moment, if you would, please, and let's read verse 23 through 26. Romans chapter 3. Beginning at verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look at these next words. Being justified freely, meaning freely to you and I. It was free to you and I because we are justified freely through His grace, by His grace, as it says there. But it cost Him something, didn't it? Through the redemption, through the redemptive blood that is in Christ Jesus. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So I ask you, do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe Him as to be the sovereign Lord of all? Everything that is? Do you know that if you call Him Lord, truly call Him Lord with all your heart, the only way you can do that is if the Spirit of God is in you? The true Spirit of God? Oh, there's a lot of people who say the Lord Jesus. They call Him the Lord Jesus that, but they're not talking about the Jesus of Scripture. They're talking about a Jesus of their own imagination. One who works according to their will. Do you believe in the Jesus that is sovereign Lord of everything? Do you believe in the Jesus, the Savior of all that the Father hath given Him? When the Lord God became flesh and walked this earth, it was for a purpose. It was for the purpose of saving His people. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people. Christ came to save sinners. And He did. Not some Jesus who's wanting to save people, but one who has. And did. For our God does everything perfect. You believe in the Jesus, the one that is sitting right now on His throne, ruling and working all things out according to His own counsel. Did you know the covenant of grace was before the world was? God the Father gave God the Son a people. On the account that God the Son would come and pay that price to justify His people before God? Our Lord sits on His throne right now, making intercession for each of us. Oh, there's plenty of those out there in the world and in the underworld who can say, what about this? What about what John thought here today? Lord, did you see what John said to that guy? Did you see John murmuring about who's running his country today? Well, there's a lot of things that you could claim against John. But my Lord sits on his throne. He says, I've covered that. He's justified in me, is what he says. And he says that about each and every one of you. Remember that. Remember that when you think about, that's against God. When it goes through your mind about that guy who just cut you off in traffic, that's going against God. My Lord paid for that already. I'm justified from it. If your faith is in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus alone, if your faith is in the sovereign will of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, then these words that we read in verses 9 and 10 of Romans chapter 5 will be precious. Precious in the sight of a sinner. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the faith of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Amen.